Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
One click. And we have light. Now, how often during a normal day do you do that? Or something similar? Perhaps with a lamp? Perhaps with an overhead light, or you plug something else in to a power source, one click, and you see the evidence of power. Now, of course, this only works because it's plugged into a power source. Like in your home. And a lamp requires very little power. This is, if you're using a table lamp like this, you will have it plugged in, the ring is around your house, and you can plug something much more powerful than a lamp, say a heater of some kind, which is going to take 2 or 3 kilowatts, and that will draw much more power out of the same source. So this is using relatively little power compared to what could come out of that ring main. But that ring main, that circuit, that socket circuit, is just part of something bigger than that. Because you have somewhere in your house a circuit board. And that circuit board controls all the power that comes into your house. So the ring main is just one of those power circuits that is on your circuit board. And your circuit board, of course, receives power because it is linked up with the local substation. And if there was a power cut in the substation, then all the power would go out of your house, out of the ring main. You would turn the switch on and nothing would happen. So that substation has to be in contact with a much bigger power source, which in turn is part of what is called the national grid. And we see when we go out into the country sometimes those pylons that are going, they're all part of the national grid. The national grid is powering every electrical outlet in the country. And this little lamp is somehow directly plugged in to the national grid. And the national grid is actually also able to be plugged into an international grid. We can receive power from other nations too. So here, this tiny little switch is linked up to a whole mighty international power source. Now you hardly need me to preach the sermon, do you? Because you can see that we, as believers in Jesus Christ, who have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, are plugged into a power source that is much greater than the national grid. Okay, we can have the lights on now. Now, the scientists have recently discovered that the creative power or force within creation is light. That the energy that has brought the whole of creation into being is light. Now, the scientists think this is a wonderful discovery. If they'd read their Bibles in chapter 1 of Genesis, they would have seen that God knew about this thousands of years ago and actually told Moses about it, that he simply said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And the whole of creation came into being because of the light. So when Jesus became man, John says in the opening chapter of his gospel, he came as the light of life. He came as the light of the world. Now, we believe in Jesus being the light. And he actually also said to the disciples, "You are the light of the world." And if you have received the Holy Spirit, then you have received the power of God, the almighty power of the Creator of the universe, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, the power that enabled him to ascend to heaven. The question is whether you're plugged in to the source of power, whether everything in your life is in good function. You see, if the bulb was broken, it could be plugged in. I could turn the switch on, but nothing would happen because things are not in right order. If one of the wires in the plug was disconnected, then there wouldn't be the source of power. You would say, well, everything is there, the power is there, but somehow or other things are not in right order, so we're not seeing the flow of power, and therefore we're not seeing the results of the power. So if everything is in right order in our relationship with God, then we should expect to see the results of power. But of course, it also depends on what we plug in. You see, you plug in a little table lamp, which hardly takes any juice at all, and that works. But if we want to see more power, then we've got to plug in something more powerful. Hello? So what we want to see is the power of God in our lives. Amen? And we see, actually, that in Scripture, this power is connected with light. I mean, we want this church to be a light to Worthing. Yes. But if it's going to be a light to Worthing, there needs to be power here.
Yes, amen.
Because what people will hear about is the power.
That's it. Very good.
What will draw them here is not that we have nice worship, because they don't understand worship. Until you know the Lord, you don't understand worship, do you? It won't just be nice, friendly people, because you can find nice, friendly people probably in other areas of the social life that goes on here at the Leisure Center. But what will draw them is the evidence of God's power.
That's it, absolutely.
Now, God wants to do more than perform works of power in our lives, but it was the power in the ministry of Jesus that drew the people,
yes,
that attracted the people.
Right.
So we're left with one or two questions. If God has given us this immense power, and the power of God is the power that brought all creation into being, which is much more powerful than our national electrical grid.
Right.
Hello?
Yes.
If somehow we are plugged into God's power, surely we're then going to see the results of
yes,
that power. Amen?
Yeah.
And that will make us corporately a witness to Worthing. Now let's consider then, how do we plug into the power source? We need a point of contact. Now the plug is essential to the lamp because the plug put into the socket that is connected to the supply, that plug is the point of contact with the power. So when we look at the scriptures, what is our point of contact with the power of God? How can we plug into the power, in other words? Now there are several. Actually, in Scripture, there are several points of contact. And you can use any one of them on any occasion. We'll use one of them at the end of the message tonight. For example, there's the laying on of hands. Now, the scripture says, believers will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You see, you know the scripture. They will recover. But perhaps you've laid hands on sick people and they haven't recovered. Now, the word of God can't be wrong. So, what is the problem? Probably the problem is that when you laid hands on somebody, you prayed for them. Because you see, the purpose of the laying on of hands is not to pray for people. The purpose of the laying on of hands is to impart power. Now, the healing gift is not in your hands. If anybody says they've got a healing gift in their hands, don't let them anywhere near you and pray, because that's occult stuff. No, the hands are simply plugged into the source of supply so that then the power is communicated to the one on whom you lay hands. So when you lay hands on the sick, it's not that you're asking God to do something, but you are doing something in the name of God. Yes. It's like saying to the person, here is the power, receive it. So of course, faith has to operate when you lay hands on people. If you don't expect the power because you're not plugged into the power source, then things are not going to happen. Right. Or if they do, you might be surprised. Right. Instead of knowing, well, God's expectation is that whenever we lay hands on people, things happen.
Amen. That's it. Very good.
So, of course, it's not just a matter of the one laying hands on. Because another point of contact, according to the Word of God, is agreement. If any two of you agree concerning anything, now, Jesus doesn't say agree in prayer, just agree. You agree in your expectation. You agree in what you believe. So, if I lay hands on someone, and I believe that as I lay hands on the person, I'm plugged into the source of power, and power is going to be communicated to that person, and the person also believes, this is for me, a point of contact with the source of divine power. When those hands are laid upon me, the power of God is going to come upon me.
Right.
Now, whether there's a great experience when that happens or not is totally immaterial. Sometimes there is, sometimes there isn't. But what matters is what happens as a result. I mean, if I was to take the bulb out of here and put my finger up there, I would know that there is more power there than That's the true. Bulb is actually producing. So we can see here are two ways already of being in contact with the source of power. One is the laying on of hands. Other is agreement. Not just agreement in prayer, because, you know, some people say, well, I pray a prayer and somebody says, amen, that means they agree. No. It's the agreement of faith. It's the agreement of expectation. It's the agreement of what you believe is going to happen. Then, of course, the scripture talks about anointing. If any of you are sick, let him call for the elders of the church to anoint him. Now, just as there's no power in the hands, the power is in God. The hands are simply like a conduit of God's power. So there's no power in the oil. I mean, the oil we use at times of anointing, you can put on your salad to dress the salad, or you can cook your chips with it. I mean, it's oil. It's just oil.
Right.
There's no power in the oil.
Right.
And if you look at the scripture, what it says in that context is the prayer of faith will raise the sick man from his bed. You see, just like the laying on of hands, that's got to be accompanied by faith, that you're plugged into the power source, so that agreement is an agreement of faith that the power is going to be released in a situation. So when there is anointing, there needs to be that same agreement, that same faith. Right, this anointing is plugging me in to the source of divine power. When that oil touches me, the power of God will come upon me. But if you don't believe that, it won't happen. If you just think this is some nice religious thing that the scriptures tell us to do, that's all it will be, a nice religious thing. And there won't be any power in the activity. Now, Paul, when he was talking about Holy Communion and what Jesus did in instituting Holy Communion, he made a very interesting comment. He said, many are sick and some have died because they have not discerned the Lord's body. What does he mean? Well, he means many people have just treated Holy Communion as what? A nice holy moment with the Lord? Just enjoying his presence? Perhaps receiving some forgiveness or some blessing. But they haven't realized that God's purpose, Jesus' purpose in instituting Holy Communion, is that it's a point of contact with the source of divine power. That it was Jesus' way of giving to his disciples the means by which they could continue to receive his life and his love and his power. And if you read Acts chapter 2 and chapter 4, you'll see that in the early church, they had communion every day because they saw this as the way of keeping in touch with that divine power. And you read the powerful things that were happening in the church there in the early days. And it isn't that there's less power today, but there isn't the same faith that we can have that same or those same points of contact. There was a woman, wasn't there, who pressed through the crowd. She'd had a hemorrhage for 12 years. She knew that all she needed was a point of contact with Jesus. If I can just touch him, I will be healed. So although she had no right to be there in the crowd because her condition made her unclean and she was not to go anywhere near society in that state, she was determined to touch Jesus. And as soon as she did, although all the crowd was pressing around him, Jesus knew someone had touched him with faith.
That's it. Right.
Who touched me? And the disciple said, look, all the people jostling around. What do you mean, who touched you? But he knew power had gone out of him. Why? Because somebody had come to the source of power with faith. And as soon as you touch Jesus with faith, power flows out of him.
Right. Yeah. Right. Very good.
Because God always responds to the faith of his children. So we can't press through a crowd and touch Jesus. We are much more privileged because there's no crowd to keep us away from Jesus.
Very good.
We've got direct access. So we can touch him with faith anywhere and any time that we choose. And whenever we touch him by faith, power will flow out of him.
Very good. Yep.
So that shows us that prayer is supposed to be a point of contact with the divine power. And of course, we can touch the power of God or for other people as well as for ourselves. And then another point of contact, maybe we've already got many, haven't we? The laying on of hands, agreement, anointing, touching the Lord with faith. And then Jesus taught the disciples what is called the prayer of faith that we read about in Mark chapter 11. And when he taught that, he said, first of all, have faith in God. That seems almost so obvious, as you wonder why he said it. Well, Jesus knew that it's very easy to put faith in our feelings, faith in the problem, faith in the circumstances, rather than faith in the source of divine power. And how do we know where we put our faith? By the things we say. Jesus said, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. If we speak about our sickness, our faith is in the sickness. If we speak about the problem, our faith is in the problem. Our faith is only in God if we're speaking about God and what he is able to do. Hello? So, you see, what Jesus is really saying is, right, now when you begin to pray, plug into the source of divine power.
Amen.
Have faith in God. Put your focus on him. If you're not plugged in, you can do all the rest in prayer, but actually there's not going to be very much power. Get plugged in right at the beginning.
Right.
Have faith in God. Then he says, speak to the mountain. Now here's a strange thing. Because what we realize is what we say is a point of contact with the source of divine power. Jesus says, command the mountain to be moved. But as with all these other things, all these other points of contact, he says, when you speak, you must believe in your heart that it will be moved. no use speaking unless speaking to the mountain unless there is that faith. So commanding with the authority that God has given us is a point of contact with the source of divine power. Mountains will be moved. This is why, of course, it says in the book of Proverbs that with your tongue, your mouth, you have the power of life or death. You can speak life, you can speak healing, you can speak deliverance, you can speak miracles, you can speak all kinds of things into being because of that authority. Jesus says, so long as when you do that, you believe in your heart. So, it's possible to see, isn't it? That God has provided all these different ways. Laying on of hands, agreement, anointing, speaking with authority, touching Jesus with our faith, commanding in His name. Every one of them, if we believe it, is a way of being plugged in to the source of divine power. How important, therefore, before we do any of those activities, that we make sure that we're plugged in. But, of course, the lamp has to be in working order. Last week when I did this message in Horsham, I was going to bring a lamp and I thought, well, I better just try the lamp. And the lamp didn't work. Something's wrong with the lamp. So it's just as well I tested the lamp because, you see, if the thing isn't working, you don't get the result. So we have to make sure that things are in right order in our lives with God. What does that mean? Well, we believe, we've got that. But what else does he say we need to do? Well, we need to be forgiven. Hello? Because sin is like this shade. It masks the power, causes the power to be diminished. If that shade wasn't there, it would look brighter, wouldn't it? In fact, so bright you wouldn't want to keep looking at the bulb all the time. So we need to get forgiven. But Jesus says also we must forgive others whenever we pray. Why? Because what Jesus is really saying is if you do not forgive others, if you hold on to any bitterness, resentment, anger, offense towards anyone, you are not plugged in, you cannot be plugged in to the source of divine power. Because if you don't forgive others, God won't forgive you. And if God's not forgiving you, you're not plugged in. You might look like a very nice lamp that once worked. And you might convince other people that you're still a very nice lamp, but it's just you won't be of any use because you can't be plugged in to the source of divine power while you harbor that offense and unforgiveness. Mm-hmm. So people, you know, they still can go to church and they do all the outward things, but something is lacking, something serious is missing in their lives. And sometimes it takes them a bit of time to realize, why isn't the power of God really operating in my life in the way that once I knew? And then when they begin to ask the right questions, they get the right answer. And the right answer is, well, you took offense, didn't you? And blessed are the merciful, for they will obtain mercy. And everything that God pours into our lives as a result of His divine power is a work of His mercy. Now, what we need to understand, of course, is this whole message is about love in action. Why should God take ordinary folks like you and me, at least we were ordinary until we got filled with the extraordinary presence of Jesus. But why should God call and choose ordinary people like us to be plugged into his divine power if it isn't for his love? Why should he put the Spirit in us? And according to the scriptures, the Spirit is the guarantee first of our approval and then of our inheritance. So possessing the Spirit shows that God's purpose is for everything to be in right order in our lives. Now, that so that we can see the results of the flow of divine power in our lives. That doesn't mean everything will be perfect in our lives, but everything will be in order. So that we're forgiven, and we forgive others. And then we use any one of these several points of contact with faith. Because it's the faith that God answers. The point of contact is just a point of contact. But where there's the point of contact with faith, you see, I have faith, everything is plugged in, everything is in order. So if I flick the switch, the light will come on. Now, just one more thing. Excuse me. There's power in light. We've seen that. Just listen to what Paul is saying when he writes to the Corinthians. He says, it is written, I believed. This is quoting God. I believe, therefore I have spoken. That's God speaking. So when God said, let there be light, he believed that there would be light. And then he saw the result and he said, that's good. And Jesus did the same thing, didn't he? Get up and walk. He didn't pray long prayers over people. You see, it was that command. It was the point of contact with his Father, because Jesus said, these aren't my works, they're the works of the one who sent me. But that command released the power. Be open. Blind eyes were open. Deaf ears were open. Dumb mouths were open. That authority of speaking to the mountain. Yes. So, I believe, therefore I have spoken. It was true of God the Father when he created. It was true of Jesus when he healed. Then the scripture says, with that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will raise us also with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. With that same spirit of faith. Okay, now, how do we keep that faith alive so that we believe that in using any one of these points of contact is going to result in the release of God's power? Well, this is where we need light. The light of revelation. That we believe the Word of God. That we believe in these points of contact. Because every one of them comes from Scripture. Every one of them I've quoted is there in the Scriptures. They're part of the Gospel. So, the light of revelation gives us the faith to plug into the source of power. Now let me give you a very simple illustration. There was one occasion when, at the end of a meeting where I'd been speaking, somebody came up to me and said, we've got a friend that we brought to the meeting tonight. He's in a wheelchair. Would you come and speak with him? So I said, yes, by all means. And when I came, people often do this, of course, and like Jesus, when I'm in a situation like this, I ask people questions because I need them to express what faith, because there's no point in laying on the hands on people if there's no faith. So, but on this occasion, this man was sitting there in his chair with a pair of shoes on his knee. And so I said to him, have you received prayer often for your healing? He had some, you know, I don't know if it was, can't remember whether it was MS or something like that, but he had something like that that was incurable and he was in fairly advanced stages of it. And medically incurable, that is. So I said to him, have you received prayer? He said, oh yes, I've prayed for often. And I said, has anything happened as a result? So he said, no. So I said to him, why have you brought your shoes tonight? And he says, because when I was praying before I came to the meeting, God said to me, take your shoes to the meeting, get the man of God to pray for you, and you will walk home. What was that? It was the light of revelation. Now, of course, he had to do what the revelation said. If he'd sort of poo-pooed it and said, oh no, I've been prayed with so often and nothing's happened. Why should anything happen tonight? Why should tonight be any different? I'm not going to take my shoes. He wouldn't have been healed. Because God was giving him not just a command, he was giving him revelation and a promise. So, I mean, you know, when you're ministering in a situation like that, you know you're on a winner. So, I mean, two minutes later, he was putting his shoes on and pushing his chair out of the meeting room. But, I mean, I didn't have to do anything except, you see, what he said to him is when I prayed for him, he would be healed. In other words, God was saying to him, all you've got to do is get plugged into the source of power. Now, I wasn't the source of power. I was just the conduit. But because I was plugged into the source of power, then the power flowed through to him. The power wasn't in my hands. The power was in God. Amen. So all the glory goes to God in a situation like that. You don't get any glory yourself because you haven't done anything except just obeyed whatever the Lord said. And of course, when I laid hands on him, I didn't pray prayers over him. I just commanded his healing in the name of Jesus. Because that's what you do when you lay hands on people. You don't pray prayer. You know, oh Lord, we know you love this child of God so much, and we believe, Lord, that you want to bless this one. And Lord, we just know that nothing is impossible for us, but all. And God's saying, what on earth are you doing? Right. Yeah. Well, we're praying, Lord, but I didn't tell you to pray. I told you to heal. Hello? And why do we pray all those words? Because we don't believe a few words will work. And what does Jesus say? You will not be heard for your many words. Yeah. Why? Because where there's faith, you don't need many words. Get up and walk. It's even less words in the Greek than in the English. And be opened is just one word in the Greek. I don't know what it would be. Jesus would have been speaking Arabic. So. But what I'm saying is you don't need many words to get the job done right. When there is faith in the source of power. Very good. And of course, that faith ultimately is in the love of God. That in his love, he has made all this divine power available to us. Come on. Now, when I did this message last week in Horsham and this morning in Crawley, we actually finished with Holy Communion. And because of what I taught about this being a point of contact, people came forward. Nobody prayed for them. You know, sometimes we pray for one another when we have communion. That's not always a very good idea, because we tend to put our faith then in the prayer rather than in the gifts. I mean, if I believe that this is really the body of Christ, if I believe this is really the blood of Christ, not, you know, in a literal sense, but I'm receiving all the virtue of his body and all the virtue of his blood, who needs prayer? I don't need somebody else to pray over me and to be have my focus taken away from being plugged into the source of power. What I realize is this bread and this cup plugs me in to the source of divine power. That's the important thing, isn't it? So we don't actually have communion. So we're going to use the laying on of hands tonight. But when we're going to do it, like I said, and nobody's going to force you to come forward except the Holy Spirit. But you see, there's no point in coming forward unless you believe that when hands are laid on you, you will get plugged in to the source of divine power. And the power of God will be released in you. When I was learning all this stuff in the early 1970s, the move of God in Luton, I used to, anybody who needed healing, talk with them and about how to receive God's healing. And I would send them away to prepare for a few days, whenever this was possible. Often people coming from a long distance, so they had to do it in a shorter period of time. But I wanted to make sure everything was in order, you see, so that they could receive the power, that they were plugged in. And so I would show them how important it was to receive God's forgiveness, to make sure they'd forgiven anybody else, and that they were surrendered to the source of divine power. Now, they weren't just coming to Jesus to get, but they were coming to plug themselves into him for his purposes. And so I would then make an appointment for them, not for prayer, but for their healing. So I would say to them, right, 3 o'clock next Wednesday afternoon is the appointment for your healing. So they came, or the person would come expecting, right, 3 o'clock next Wednesday, I'm going to get healed. What do you think happened at 3 o'clock next Wednesday? They got healed. Or that person was healed.
Very good.
I never said, come for prayer. I said, right, we'll now fix the time of your healing. All they had to do was what I told them to do, just make sure you're forgiven, everything is in order. I'd actually also give them a series of scriptures which were appropriate to their particular situation on a postcard. We had postcards in those days. And but you see, those postcards were scriptures. On the postcard was written 3 or 4 scriptures. And I knew that what the Holy Spirit would do would switch the light on.
Come on.
But revelation, not only would they get their lives in right order, but actually the Spirit would give them revelation so that when they came, they were in a place of faith and they really expected 3 o'clock, my healing. I can honestly tell you, I never, ever, ever, and I must have prayed for hundreds of people like this, I never, ever, ever prayed for anyone and nothing happened. Never. Why? Because we were plugged in. Sometimes people received the instantaneous miracle. Sometimes God began a process. But always, because sometimes, you know, He builds a process, and as He builds the process, He builds faith. He begins, and then faith is enlarged, and He does more. But either way, doesn't really matter, does it? So long as we get the end result. So, praise God. We're going to have to spend just a few moments now in preparation. And then we're going to have the opportunity to receive from God's power. Amen? And what did Jesus say? According to your faith, it will be done to you. So this isn't a piece of magic. It's simply responding to what God says in His Word. So shall we all stand? Now, let's just close our eyes so we're not distracted. Now we want everything to be in order. Let's first of all thank God for the precious gift of His Spirit. Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So thank Him that you're a man or woman of the Spirit, that you have received the power of God into your life. You're plugged in to the divine heavenly network or grid, not just the national grid, but the heavenly grid. Hallelujah. So thank Him for that. Praise you, Jesus. Thank Him for that love that He has for you that enabled Him to impart His Spirit to you. And thank Him that according to the Scripture, the kingdom of God is within you. And the Scripture says the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. So thank Him that you have the kingdom within you. You have the power of God's heavenly kingdom within you. So if the kingdom of heaven is within you, that kingdom is plugged into the kingdom in heaven. So, you know, there's only one kingdom of heaven, isn't there? So there's direct, you see, there's a direct link with the heavenly grid. Now thank the Lord for all the ways in which you have drawn on that power in the past. Hallelujah. But you might want to say to the Lord, Lord, I realize I've been like that table lamp. I've drawn on your power, but only a tiny bit of it. There is so much more. There is so much more power that can flow into my life and through my life into the lives of others. So Lord, forgive me that I haven't believed and expected for more. You might want to say, Lord, forgive me for doing things in a kind of religious way rather than in a faith way. You might want to say, Lord, I've received communion so many times, but I've never really believed that it is a point of contact with that divine source of power. So forgive me, Lord. Forgive me that I've done those things so often, but without the expectation of a release of your power in my life. You might have received the laying on of hands, or you might have laid hands on others, and not with the same authority and power that we've been talking about tonight. And we can say, well, Lord, forgive me that I've just sort of done it in a nice sort of friendly, pally way with my Christian friends. But, oh, Lord, I realize that this is a gift that you have given, that you would use my hands as a conduit of your power, because you say believers will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And Lord, I'm a believer. I am a believer. So forgive me when I've just done this in a friendly way or just hoping that things would get a little bit better, instead of really seeing that you are calling me to impart power. You might need to say, Lord, forgive me for laying hands on people really at the wrong time, when they weren't ready, when they weren't believing, that there wasn't an agreement of faith, that we haven't even talked about what we believed would happen when the hands were laid on them. Forgive me, Lord, for doing this in a casual way instead of really in a faith way. And I thank you, Lord, that in the future I'm going to do things in a different way, in faith. And then you may want to say to the Lord, Lord, forgive me for speaking negative things over my life, when really speaking, commanding with my mouth connects me to that grid of heavenly power. That the power goes out of the words that I proclaim and speak with authority and faith. So forgive me, Lord, when I've said things that are actually a contradiction of faith and a denial of your power. I want everything to be in right order, Lord. I want that flow of power in my life, through my life, out of my life, into the lives of other people. And now you may need to say to the Lord, and this is so important, I forgive everyone who has ever offended me, spoken against me, hurt me, rejected me, done anything negative to me, said anything negative about me. I forgive them all. Because I realize, Lord, I cannot be in right order. My life cannot be in right order if I'm holding on to any offense. And I don't want things just to appear to be right, have the appearance of a Christian. I want to know the divine power that works through the love that you have for me and for those to whom I can minister in your name. So we praise you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. We thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I'm just going to ask Pastor Clive and Pastor Jonathan and myself, the three of us are going to be up here. And we're ready to, because it doesn't matter who you come to, does it? If the power is in God and we're just conduits, it doesn't matter which one you get plugged into. You know, like in your house, if the power is going through the sockets. It doesn't matter which socket you put the plug in. Amen? It'll work. So it isn't, well, you know, I want Pastor Clive or Pastor Colin or Pastor Jonathan to pray for me. It doesn't matter who prays for you. But when I say prayer, I mean we're not going to pray long prayers over you. We're just going to impart to you in the name of Jesus. We're not even going to ask you what you want to receive. Right? But we just are prepared to be in agreement with you that what you believe, God, the way in which God will release his power into your life, it's like simply saying, well, here it is. Here is the answer. Or at least the beginning of the answer. As I said, sometimes, you know, God does just enough to build and encourage our faith to know that he'll do more. I've known some people, you know, many, many people laid hands on and have been the instantaneous miracle. Other people, I've laid hands on a number of times over a period of time, and every time they've got better and better and better. Because faith has risen and enlarged, and God has done a greater and deeper work. So it doesn't matter, you know, how it works, because God will do it one way or the other. But what we're expecting now is don't come forward just because there's the opportunity, but because you're expecting a release of that divine power. So let's just pray together before we do this. Father, we thank you so much. I pray now that your people gathered here in this room tonight, that you have switched on the light of revelation in their hearts, and that we can come expecting, we can come believing that there's going to be a release of your power as a result of this act. And so we give you all the glory, we give you all the honor, we give you all the praise. Now this isn't going to take a long time. We're not interested whether people go down on the floor, anything like that. I mean, if they do, they do. If they don't, they don't. What matters is what we believe. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.